Darkness is not an affirmative force. It simply reoccupies the space vacated by the light.
This is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio
and Urban Family Talk.
It should be uncomfortable for a believer to live as a hypocrite.
Delivering people out of the bondage of mainstream media
and the philosophies of this world.
God has called you and me to be his ambassadors, even in this dark moment. Let's not miss our moment.
And now, the Hamilton Corner.
Good evening. Welcome to the Hamilton Corner here in American Family Radio and Urban Family Talk. I'm your host, Abraham Hamilton III. And yesterday we were 1J down, but we pressed through nevertheless. But today, we got both J's on tap. Mr. Reed is back in the building. Mr. Trosh holding it down as usual. And we all collectively are hanging out in the Hamilton Corner. Thank you for tuning in to the program today, whether you're listening via radio, live streaming, audio streaming through AFR.net or UrbanFamilyTalk.com, whether you're watching via the YouTube channel, which you have, if you have not subscribed yet, what are you waiting for? Just go ahead and hit the subscribe button, because you know that I know that you know. You want to look and see what's going on in the studio. You don't want to listen to the voice. You want to see. Come on, you want to see. So go ahead and subscribe at YouTube, or you can watch. I don't know how long we're going to be able to watch on Facebook Live, also known as, I guess we should start referring to that as Zuckerberg's block, where he is the Debo on the corner saying, run my chain, homie. Because if you heard him, if you heard the show yesterday, and all of his references during his Capitol Hill grilling to him saying the community in quite Android fashion, don't you think? The community. Well, if you rewind the tape back to last May, in May of 2017, he not only said he sought to establish a community, but he stated that it is the leaders who create the culture of the community. So when you tie that into the shadow banning, Facebook jailing, and all the other things that are happening, you begin to see a clearer picture that the stoic t-shirt-laden one is actually the digital Debo. Now, a couple, one little housekeeping thing I want to do, because we've got some messages, there was some confusion between the Hamilton Corner 60-second commentaries that are aired daily throughout the American Family Radio Network and on Urban Family Talk, and the one-hour radio program, because they both had the name Hamilton Corner. Just a little bit of history. When I first started on American Family Radio, I was only doing those commentaries, and I would guest appear on certain shows throughout the program, but the 60-second commentaries were airing on the network. Then the Lord opened the door for me to begin a one-hour daily radio program on Urban Family Talk, and that was also named the Hamilton Corner, and then that has grown into now the Hamilton Corner's one-hour daily radio program on all the network. So to eliminate the confusion, we have renamed and rebranded the 60-second commentaries as the Hamilton Minute. Okay, if you go to AFR.net, you'll see on the podcast page, you'll see a tab for the Hamilton Minute and a tab for the Hamilton Corner. The Hamilton Minute is the 60-second commentary page. The Hamilton Corner is for the one-hour daily radio program. So when you go to sign up for podcasts on your Android or Apple device, if you want the one-hour daily radio program, and it's amazing that I'm learning that thousands of people all over the country are listening to this show via podcast. That is amazing to me. If you want the one-hour daily radio program, you need to download the Hamilton Corner podcast, okay? If you are looking for the 60-second quick hitter spots, bang, boom, pow, then you want the Hamilton Minute. Go right ahead, Jeff, you wanted to say something.
No, I was just going to mention if somebody has one of those virtual assistants like a Google Mini, Google Home, Echo Dot, those kind of things. Now, when you say, hey, Google, play the Hamilton Corner podcast, it'll go right to the full-hour program.
And if you wanted the 60-second commentaries, you'd have to say the Hamilton Minute. Mm-hmm. All right. Is that clear? That's sufficiently clear? All right. Well, we're going to jump into the scripture now. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 through 19, it's a lot of scripture, but I think this is important to dig into. I've said on the program, and I will continue to say, that every generation of believers will have to contend for the advancement of the gospel. You know, I have breaking news. Satan hates the gospel. You know, is that deep enough for you? Satan hates the gospel. The Bible told us, Jesus told us, that he walks about as a roaring lion. It's not because he is a roaring lion. He's trying to act as if he is one. He wants to convince you that he has lion-like capabilities, when in reality, his only asset is deception. But he walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. I will tell you that his skulking about, seeking whom he may devour, is specifically crafted to devour and hew down the church of the living God. He's not really concerned about making a waste of the unbeliever. He is seeking to hew down the church of the living God. So let's jump into this. I'll read it and make some comments. Verse 11 in Ephesians chapter 2, it's important to remember this is the Apostle Paul preaching to a congregation of Gentile believers in the city of Ephesus, okay, that is populated by Gentile believers. And this is how it begins. In the previous portions of chapter 2, the Apostle Paul is talking about salvation being the product of grace through the mechanism of faith and not by works, in that any man should boast. Now, why was that critically important? Because one of the big cultural tense issues of the day was the distinction between Jew and Gentile. One of the primary primary features of Judaism at the time was their adherence to the law by feats of works that many believed would produce salvation. This is part of the reason why the Apostle Paul was so zealous for rabbinic Judaism. Because after having been steeped in, you know, Gamaliel's teaching and following the strictures of the law, now you want to come in and say that all that's necessary is faith? This must be blasphemy. Until the Apostle Paul met a man on his way to Damascus. Then he ends up becoming the preacher against what he sought to destroy, and the preacher advocating for what he thought, no, that's too easy. Well, let me jump into it. Verse 11, therefore remember, Ephesian believers, that at one time you Gentiles in the flesh, called the uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, which is made in the flesh by hands, remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Paul's reference to the commonwealth of Israel is a reference to a commonly understood at that time political nation-state reference. It's a vernacular that the Ephesian believers would have understood very well. Let's pick up at verse 13. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. And he came and preached peace to you who were far off, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access in one spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. Oh, so much in here. I only have a few minutes, so let me just get right into it. So right at verse 14, let me say this, that there are lots of conversations right now about race, which is a term that I literally despise. Every time we say that term, we are reinforcing a lie. There's lots of discussions about skin color-based reconciliation and things of that nature. But you know what one of the biggest things that's missing from the conversation? It's reconciliation to God. We are acting as if, even though we might say differently, we're acting as if that there's a hierarchy of sins, and we're treating people as if skin color-based prejudice is the unpardonable sin. as if, well, we trust that God can deliver, you know, whoremongers, and God can deliver adulterers and abusers of themselves with mankind, and God can deliver murderers, but he can't deliver somebody who might have been bound in skin color-based prejudice? God's arms all of a sudden have waxed too short to address that. It's almost as if we want to extract as some form of social currency this perpetual obeisance and compel people to repent for sins that they have not committed themselves. And the thing that draws my ire is that we're having conversations about things being done socially that I will tell you that they are impossible without the cross of Jesus Christ. And it is instructive to us that the Apostle Paul, speaking by and writing by the power of the Spirit of God, writing to a Gentile audience who has languished under centuries of ethnocentric prejudices, both directed toward the Jews and received from the Jews. And the Apostle Paul said, but there is a Christ who is himself our peace. Reconciling, but look how Paul explains the reconciliation. Reconciling the two estranged parties that are partitioned by a dividing line, a dividing wall of hostility. How does he reconcile them, folks? Reconciling them to God. See, I've said this and I'll say it again. Anytime there is conversations about social justice, where the social precedes the justice, we tend to emphasize more the sociality component and not the justice. Any efforts to mend men where the cross of Jesus Christ is merely adjacent or a footnote to this men-mending pursuit, I will tell you without fear of successful contradiction, you are simply on the hamster wheel of abuse and subjugation. We are witnessing it right now in South Africa, to where they are passing legislation to take land from people based on what? Skin color. Nothing but skin color. Because Proverbs chapter 14 tells us that wicked men don't comprehend justice. And Miki Addison said this beautifully, that when there are pursuits to establish social justice void of Christ, they become cries for vengeance. Cries for vengeance. The Apostle Paul, writing by the Spirit of God, said that he has taken the two estranged parties that are partitioned by a dividing wall of hostility. Listen, this is not a passive hostility. This is not a, well, you know, they're over there and we're over here. Let's all sing together. No, this is a wall of hatred, folks. But you have the Christ who intercedes the foolishness, so committed to his cause that he nailed himself to it, having all power to get down if he so chose. But he said that for the joy set before him. Because there is a day when gathered around the throne room that all ethnos, all nations, all tribes, and all tongues will enjoy forever what he actually initiated on the church's birthday, on the day of Pentecost. So I am encouraging you, and I want to say this as strongly as I can, and I will most likely dig into this more deeply, because I smell a rat. Or dare I say, a snake is trying to enter the garden. And I see the world foisting upon the church an argument that really is a demonic attack to hew down the body of Christ. To where I would encourage every pastor who is listening to me, every believer who is listening to me, every member of a local assembly, not to allow national conversations to separate your local assembly, to divide your worship gatherings. And I've been saying this and I'm going to say it again. Let us return to the Acts chapter 2 example of breaking bread and fellowship, not making assumptions about our local assembly, but let us literally get to the place where we enjoy true koinonia. Because in fortifying ourselves in pursuit of the unity of the Spirit and the preservation of the bond of peace, that I believe that we will exercise the strength that is necessary to resist the devilish attack to hew down the body of Christ. Because the author of confusion and the author of division within the family of God is not the Lord. It's not the Spirit of the Lord. In fact, the exact opposite exists. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And Jesus himself became the peace that destroys the dividing wall of hostility.
AFR, since I've been listening in the last 5 years, has made me more educated in the ways of the world. It has increased my faith. It has helped me to engage others in a dialogue with information that they would not normally have with the fake news or the other media. I praise God for you. I praise God for the preaching programs that you have, and I praise God for the continuance of everything that the AFR does, because it truly promotes God and the name of Jesus in every corner of the world. Thank you so very much.
God is using American Family Radio to inform, equip, and activate our listeners to strengthen the moral foundations of American culture. Please partner with us in this important effort during our 3-day Share-a-thon beginning Tuesday, April 17th.
The influence of media is so very powerful over a person.
American Family Association and the family of Anna Bright want to warn you about the Netflix program 13 Reasons Why.
I really feel in my heart, with all my soul, that show contributed to her passing.
After binge-watching season one of 13 Reasons Why, 14-year-old Anna Bright committed suicide in the same manner depicted on the show.
To portray suicide, first of all, as an option, is not a good thing. To portray it graphically, it leaves you vulnerable to the enemy's attack, which I think it definitely did for our daughter.
She took a permanent solution to a temporary situation.
Help protect our teens by signing the AFA petition urging Netflix to pull Season 1 and cancel the upcoming Season 2 of 13 Reasons Why. You can see Anna's story and sign the petition at AFA.net. That's AFA.net.
Hi, this is Mark Gregston with Parenting Today's Teens. I meet a lot of parents who are tired and discouraged. They love their children dearly, but the teen years have taken a toll on the family. Is that you? Well, maybe it's time for a little encouragement. For helpful resources for your family, check out our website at parentingtodaysteens.org. And be sure to listen to Parenting Today's Teens for help and hope.
Saturday afternoon at 4:30 Central on American Family Radio.
Hi, this is David Barton of Wall Builders Live, inviting you to join me here on American Family Radio this weekend. We take the ideas of the Founding Fathers and apply those ideas to the major issues of the day. Our guests include those who are in the headlines, as well as experts on issues facing this great nation. Along the way, you'll discover the role that faith has played in our nation's history, as well as in dealing with the issues we face right now. Join us Saturday afternoon at 2 Central here on American Family Radio.
Shining light into the darkness, this is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio
and Urban Family Talk.
Welcome back to the Hamilton Corner here in American Family Radio. An Urban Family Talk. I promised yesterday I was going to get into this, so I'm going to do it, even though there's some more news and information we need to get to. But yesterday, Paul Ryan, can I tell you what I call him at my house? I shouldn't say this publicly. My wife and I, we talk about him. I call him two first names. Don't ask me why. Paul Ryan. That's a man that has two first names. Paul Ryan. Paul Ryan announced that he will not seek re-election. He will not seek re-election next year, or in January. His term is up in January, and he will, as a result, cede the speakership. There is some news about who people, well, some information that I won't discuss yet, but about who would be vying for the speakership in Paul Ryan's absence. But his announcement of not seeking re-election caps off a pretty large number of Republicans, particularly in the House of Representatives, as well as some in the Senate, who are incumbents, but they are not seeking re-election. They include Representative Trey Gowdy, who I've talked about in the program, that he said he wants to get out of Washington in terms of functioning in a congressional capacity. Senator Bob Goodlatte, who had, in my opinion, the best plan for addressing the DACA issue. From Virginia, Representative Jeb Hensarling from Texas, Rodney Frelinghuysen from New Jersey, Daryl Issa from California, Lamar Smith from Texas. Elena Ross Lightening. Boy, that name, Lightening. I hope she don't like tea too much because her name is Lightening. All right, keep going. Charlie Dent from Pennsylvania. All of these Republicans now. Dave Reichert from Washington. Pat Tiberi from Ohio. Frank Lubiando. Hello, can you go? Ooh, hello, can you go? Lubiando. Sorry, guys. This is stuff that happens in my head. You're invited to the party that is my brain. This is what happens. When I hear things like that, Lubiando. Lubiando. Okay, keep going. Lynn Jenkins from Kansas. Sam Johnson from Texas. John Duncan from Tennessee. Ted Poe from Texas, who, by the way, prosecuted in the same office where I came from. Then Ted Poe became a judge. I don't want to say too much, but I'm just going to tell you, Ted Poe is kind of opportunistic. But all right, we're going to leave that on the side. Dave Trott from Michigan. Ryan Costello from Pennsylvania. Bill Schuster from Pennsylvania. Greg Harper from Mississippi. Tom Rooney from Florida. That's just a sample of those that are retiring. We know Jeff Flake, Flaky Dust. That's what I call him. Why am I doing this? Flaky Dust. Man, every time I think of Jeff Flake, I literally think of a pancake. That dude is the flip-flop of a flapjack. I mean, whatever you like, I do for you. What you want me to take your spot? Want me to say what you say? That's Jeff Flake. Anyway, now, Paul Ryan's retiring, and I have to get to some of his comments, but I want to say this first because there are lots of people, and I disagree with you, even some well-known conservative pundits are suggesting that this is evidence that a blue wave is coming in terms of Democrats taking the House. And I understand why they would say that. I do think natural political observation could lead one to that conclusion, but I'm not so sure that that is what's going to happen. I would not be surprised if there were some Democrat gains. It is true that there is great momentum surrounding this resist Trump agenda. It ain't one steeped in policy, however. It's just people that don't like President Trump. They just don't like him. You know, even though they loved him before he became a Republican candidate for president, go figure. And even they loved him while he was just a candidate. Well, until he crossed day one, you know, coming to America. That's day one. He's about to break the glass ceiling. Anyway, now they can't stand him. Okay. But I think something else is happening. And I may be the lone wolf saying this. I think we may very well see an opportunity for true conviction-laden people to replace establishmentarians. Because what's happening is that these people have run in districts that allowed them as Republicans to get elected in the first place. And I think this is something that the establishment class has not ever been able to grapple with, and that is a Republican voting base that is becoming hip to the fact at just how deep the swamp runs in the Republican Party. I do. Color me optimistic if you want, but I'm not saying this based on rank optimism. What I am saying is that you have people that are, you know, politically experienced. Let me say it that way. And many of them serving as incumbents, knowing full well about parties of the president that's in power. They suffer in you know, midterm elections in the first term, so on and so forth. But I think we very well may see a new, a new stripe of leader to where there is an opportunity here for true servant leaders to take these positions as opposed to those that are willing to play the swamp muskrat game. I may be crazy, but that's what I think we may be witnessing here. Of course, we'll see what actually happens, because I still think that just sheer hatred for a personality won't be enough to encourage the type of swings that they want. And remember, we can go all the way back to the Georgia, one of the first special elections in Georgia, where we were told, the blue wave is coming. When you're going to have the young whippersnapper, I forgot his name, who didn't even live in the district, that was shacking up with his girlfriend. If you shack and start packing, you remember that song? And they thought he was going to win a congressional seat, and they were wrong, even though they poured millions of dollars into a relatively obscure congressional race. So all I'm saying is, I don't think that the blue wave is going to be all that is being cracked up to be, that this may be an opportunity for true servant leaders to stand up. Now, I want to play a little audio from two first names, That's Paul Ryan, in case you weren't listening earlier. In his announcement of his resignation, this is what Paul Ryan had when he was questioned by a particularly snarky, in my opinion, reporter, asking him about his biggest achievement in Congress. You would play clip number 5.
It won't play.
I hear it playing.
Yeah, but it's only out on one channel.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, well, I'll bring you up to speed. I'm sorry, guys. A little technical difficulty. Well, the questioner, Paul Ryan, in his resignation speech, he ticked off a list of accomplishments, and he referred to one of his biggest accomplishments being tax reform, being monumental, one of the biggest sources of tax reform in, you know, recent history. And the reporter says, well, you talk about your greatest accomplishment, but you won't stick around for the fallout, which is the $1.3 trillion deficit that will result from this tax bill, right? And you guys know, I've talked about that. It wasn't solely the tax bill. The budget that the Republicans passed have added into this whole deficit situation. But Paul Ryan then responded that in explaining the reasoning for that is because of Congress's refusal to tackle entitlement reform. And he described it as one of the things that he dedicated his life to fight for that he still feels is left undone. Then he went on to say, but it wasn't because we didn't pass it in the House. We passed the largest entitlement reform legislation in the last 40, 50 years in the House of Representatives. He said, I'm disappointed that it didn't pass in the Senate. Now, you know me. I'll read between the lines for you guys. Look, I'm here for the people, right? I'm going to translate that for you. And I wish the audio was playing properly because I wanted you to hear it right out of his mouth. But I'm going to translate that for you. What Paul Ryan is saying is that, well, if the Senate would have taken up our bill, because even though the legislation was passed by a significant majority in the House, the Senate didn't even give it a hearing. It's almost as if nothing ever happened. Servpro, it never happened. Now, the question for Mr. Two First Names that I wish somebody would have asked him, and he alluded to this later, well, how can they do that? And that's where I come in. The fake-a-buster, ladies and gentlemen. The fake-a-buster. The filibuster fake-a-buster. That it is high time for somebody to acknowledge the fact that as long as there is this 60-vote threshold commonly referred to as the filibuster, nothing significant will pass unless it comports with a regressive agenda. The bottom line. The two major accomplishments, I said this already, but I'm going to say it again. The two major accomplishments of this Congress has occurred. Those accomplishments being Justice Neil Gorsuch's confirmation and the passage of tax reform. The two major legislative accomplishments. They all passed with a 51-vote majority in the Senate. Why? Senator Justice Gorsuch's confirmation? Because they got rid of the filibuster for judicial confirmations. And the tax reform legislation? Because they passed it through a budgetary mechanism called reconciliation, both of which sidestep a 60-vote threshold. So in reality, this is not like secretive pool. If you really want to get it done, deal with the filibuster. But we know they're not going to do that. At least so far, they're not going to do it. And the question that I have for them is, do you guys really think that if the Democrats get the presidency, and they get anywhere close to 51 votes in the Senate? Because, of course, you know they have Lisa Murkowski and Susan Collins to depend on in the Senate. I mean, they're as tried and true blue as true blues can get. Do you think if they get anywhere near 51 votes that they will hesitate to give rid of the filibuster? We all know the answer to that question. So I'm going to move on from there. Next on the docket for the Hamilton Corner. Dun, dun, dun. It's amazing to me the stuff that's coming out of Washington now that passes for senatorial questioning. I would take this opportunity to remind you of the rank constitutional violation committed by one wily-haired Bernie Sanders when questioning Russell Vogt, where he concludes, because of Russell Vogt's Christian fidelity to the scriptures, he is therefore unqualified to serve in the Office of Management and Budget. Now, in spite of that, and after a significant delay, Russell Vogt was finally confirmed But the Constitution says very clearly that there should be no religious test for executive office. Guess Bernie Sanders didn't get that memo. Well, not to be outdone, today, the CIA director, Mike Pompeo, who is a former congressman from Kansas, had his confirmation hearing before the Senate panel for his new appointment to the position of Secretary of State. And Cory Booker took particularized issue with Mike Pompeo's adherence to the biblical stance in human sexuality. Now, I want to tell you now, if you have young children listening, I know there are a host of children who listen to the program. I want to give you ample warning because we're about to delve into a topic that you may want to engage your young one in later on. So if that is you, I would encourage you to just step away from the radio for this brief moment and maybe catch up on the podcast or on the videos later on. All right, pause. Okay, let's go right before we get to the break. Listen to this line of questioning from New Jersey Senator, and who's also a presidential hopeful. I mean, let's be clear. I mean, Corey, you want the Oval. I mean, right? Am I right? Yeah, I'm right. Listen to Cory Booker's questioning of CIA Director and current Secretary of State nominee Mike Pompeo.
Is being gay a perversion?
Senator, I, when I was a politician, I had a very clear view on whether it was appropriate for two same-sex persons to marry. I stand by that.
So you do not believe it's appropriate for two gay people to marry?
Senator, I continue to hold that view. It's the same view.
And so people in the State Department, I met some in Africa, that are married under your leadership. You do not believe that that should be allowed?
Senator, I believe it's the case. We have married gay couples at the CIA, you should know. I treated them with the exact same set of rights.
Do you believe that gay sex is a perversion? Yes or no?
Senator,
Do you believe that gay sex is a perversion? Because it's what you said here,
Senator,
in one of your speeches. Yes or no? Do you believe gay sex is a perversion?
Senator, I'm going to give you the same answer I just gave you previously. My respect for every individual, regardless of their sexual orientation, is the same.
You're going to be Secretary of State of the United States at a time that we have an increase in hate speech and hate actions against Jewish Americans, Muslim Americans, Indian Americans. Hate acts are on the increase in our nation. Your views do matter, and I do not necessarily concur that you are performing the values of our nation when you believe that there are people in our country that are perverse, and where you think that you create different categories of Americans and their obligations when it comes to condemning of violence.
Folks, this is a teachable moment. So let's start with the content of the conversation. Did you hear Cory Booker's consistent pestering of Mike Pompeo? And let's be clear, Mike Pompeo is a committed Christian. He is one of the people who attends the Bible study in the Oval Office most faithfully. So let's be clear, Cory Booker questioning Mike Pompeo about his beliefs, first about marriage and secondarily about sexual activity, are steeped in his views of scripture. And when the question was asked, Mike Pompeo said clearly, look, I said long ago what I believe about marriage. I said it before and I believe it now. But my views on marriage hasn't governed how I treat people. He said, I treat everybody the same, regardless of their sexual orientation. That wasn't enough for Cory Booker. Oh, no. Cory Booker wanted to ask a nasty question. Well, how do you feel about homosexual sexual activity? Now, folks, can you imagine? I got to take the glasses off of this one. Can you imagine any other faith tradition being grilled by a senator about their opinions about sexual activity? In determining whether or not they're qualified to serve as the Secretary of State? No. If Mike Pompeo was a Muslim, do you think Cory Booker would have had those questions? If Mike Pompeo were Jewish, would he have been asked those questions?
The following is not an actor, but a real-life story from Trinity Debt Management. had a lot of credit card debt and I couldn't pay my bills. I was feeling so bad. I got to a point where I needed some help. So I reached out and contacted Trinity.
If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-788-1813 to talk to a certified counselor.
They were able to take all of my different payments and put them all together.
Trinity will consolidate your accounts into one easy-to-manage monthly payment, put a stop to late fees and over-limit charges, reduce your interest, and possibly improve your credit score. You'll save thousands.
And they were actually able to work with my creditors. I've been able to pay off close to $15,000 in the last 18 months.
If your debt has you down, call Trinity at 1-800-788-1813.
My name is Stephanie, and I'm debt-free for keeps.
1-800-788-1813.
Hi, Janet Mefford here of Janet Mefford Live. I'm amazed at how God is using American Family Radio in the lives of our listeners.
Last year, Hurricane Matthew flooded my home, and when I moved back in, I decided I didn't want cable anymore. So I have two radios set to AFR all day so I can hear it everywhere. I want to challenge every other senior living on a fixed income to give a little to AFR, and all of our littles will turn into a lot.
God is using American Family Radio to make a difference in our nation. Please partner with us during our three-day share-a-thon beginning Tuesday, April 17th.
Thank you, AFR, for making my day every day. I love all the programming, especially Tim and the guys. You keep me informed and laughing on Friday. May God bless you all for the work you do, keeping us informed.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next. Conservative family groups across the nation are urging parents to pull their kids out of school on April 23rd to protest what they call pornographic sex education classes. The so-called Sex Ed Sit-Out is sponsored by Family Research Council and the American Life League. They're raising concerns and awareness about the influence of radical left-wing groups in public school classrooms. Human Rights Commission has been especially aggressive, providing materials on transgender and non-binary education. Planned Parenthood operates classroom programs on sexual identity. Indoctrination, not education. The group is hoping to send a strong message to school boards across the country by keeping their kids home on April 23rd. One parent said on my nationally syndicated radio show that she sends her child to school to learn reading and writing, not how to question whether they are a boy or a girl. I'm Todd Starnes.
The Hamilton Quarter podcast and one-minute commentaries are available at AFR.net and UrbanFamilyTalk.com. Back to the Hamilton Quarter on American Family Radio and Urban Family Talk.
Welcome back to the Hamilton Corner here in American Family Radio and Urban Family Talk. We will open the phone lines this segment, but I have to go in a little bit more on this Cory Booker situation. Because I think it would have been an appropriate response, and Jay Tross brought this up during the break, two things. You know, this might not have seemed appropriate to you, but I would have been very tempted to ask in response to Cory Booker, why are you, Mr. Booker, so concerned about this particular type of sexual act? And what is the relationship between this act and my functioning as a Secretary of State? I've already told you that I treat people the same regardless of their particular orientation. So why are you so fixated on this particular type of activity? Is there something you want to tell us? Huh? Huh, Coco? Would you like to tell us something? Is there a revelation you'd like to share in the moment? And the second thing I would say is I would have taken the opportunity as Mike Pompeo to say, listen, you're well aware, Mr. Booker, you've read my speeches, you heard me in Congress, you're well aware that my views on human sexuality across the spectrum, my views on fornication, which is sexual activity outside of marriage, my views on the entire subject of human sexuality is based on the scripture. Why are you so concerned with grilling me about my religious beliefs? Is this the Christian Inquisition? And you would have watched Cory Booker's neck swell up. His shirt collar would have got tight. His head would have begun to palpitate, where a vein would have been visible in the top of his noggin. Because it's time for the believers to no longer play defense. Everybody can stave off religious freedom inquisitions, except for the Christians. And I understand it. I know that Mike Pompeo didn't want to make any waves. I know that Cory Booker was looking for his, you know, his 1 minute and 15 second soundbite that could be splashed all over social media where he could catch Mike Pompeo expressing a negative view about a particular in vogue sexual activity. I know that, right? I know that. But it's time for us to flip these things. It's time to flip these things. My views on human sexuality, as well as an entire scope of interaction between human beings, is governed by the scripture. But as I've stated, my view about human beings compels me, based on the scripture, to treat everyone with kindness, even preferring one another. But it's just another example of Christianity not being welcomed in the public square. Not being welcomed in the public square. And to that, I have this other story I'll get to quickly before we get to the phone lines. You've heard me say many times on this program that regressive ideology ultimately will result in them eating their own. One of the biggest examples of this I've shared before is that the whole transgender ideology movement is in direct contrast, in stark contrast with the regressive feminist agenda. And you see it all over. You know, the report's coming out now that the Boston Marathon and other marathons are no longer requiring people to run and have their times measured based on their biological sex. In other words, a man who says he's a woman can run in the Boston Marathon and have his times pit against other women. And I said before that the areas of sports is one of the first areas where we will see the ultimate elimination of women's sports competitively, because they are going to begin to be filled with average male athletes who see competing against women as their means to acclaim some sort of athletic achievement. And true to form, there is a same-sex pride parade in Glasgow. I believe this is in Scotland, where there's an organization called Free Pride Glasgow, not to be confused with Pride Glasgow, you see, because Free Pride Glasgow bills itself as a non-commercial and more open alternative to the traditional Glasgow LGBT Pride events. So you want to know what happened? Oh, boy. The Free Pride Glasgow parade said that they are banning drag queens because they're concerned that drag queens will be offensive to trans people. Right. I'm like, doink, doink, confusing. And now if you're not up to speed on, you know, the identity politics of the day, a trans person will be a person who is not confused about their biological sex, but they want to dress up and act like they're something else. Whereas, and this is a basic, simple, maybe an oversimplification, their specific objection was that trans people will be concerned about being offended by cisgender people, that's people that are not confused about their gender, pretending to be something that they're not. Guys, this is not me making this up. So, Free Pride Glasgow has banned drag queens from their LGBT Pride event, their Pride Parade. And so it has sent drag queens into conniptions fits, saying that how can you have a Pride Parade without drag queens? Folks, I'm telling you, can't make this up. We'll open the phone lines. If you want to be a part of the program, you're welcome to call. The number to do so is 888-589-8840. The number again is 888-589-8840. 4-0. We will start in Alabama, where Bill is on the line. Bill, thank you for calling the Hamilton Corner.
Hey, Mr. Abe. My comment is it's about Paul Ryan.
Okay.
My theory is I think since he knows that nothing will go through the Senate, he'll allow anything to be brought forward in the House of Representatives. That's just my thought.
Mm. Thank you for your call and your comments, Bill. Yeah, there's a lot of people saying he's abandoning ship because he's afraid of the blue wave. In his resignation remarks, he talked about having young children and not wanting to be just a weekend dad. And I will never condemn anyone for turning their attention to their family. But some people are saying his timing is rather interesting. So, you know, we'll see. But he has announced that he won't seek reelection and that he'll be out in January. That's what he said. So we'll see if that happens. Again, the number to call is 888-589-8840. If you want to be a part of the program, the number again is 888-589-8840. We go next to my home state, Louisiana, where Mary is on the line. Mary, thank you for calling the Hamilton Corner. And by the way, who dat and go Tigers.
Hello from the South. I'm actually from a small town near New Orleans, but I live in Baton Rouge.
Okay.
Anyway, my question is, I don't understand this at all, but whenever they have Senate hearings of any type, isn't there a chairman on the Senate side or the whatever side, the Senate, the chairman that kind of leads everything? I don't understand when there's that kind of question like this bozo just now you were talking about, why no one stops that questioning. It's not constitutional. Mm. Why does no one stand up and say stop? I don't get that.
Great question, Mary. So in the Senate, usually when you have hearings of this sort, that each senator on the various committees are allotted a particular amount of time, should they choose to use it, to question a nominee. Now, there are things that can happen after the fact. Senators can be censured. Other things can happen. But the constitutional idea is that the senator is there representing his constituency back in the home state. So as a representative of the home state, that they're supposedly speaking for the home state. And so there is great reluctance to encroach upon a senator's time in questioning. But I do think things can be done to remind the Senate and to remind various representatives of the constitutional requirements when conducting these types of hearings. So your point is well taken. We're going to go to the phone lines, but I want to mention this. In a speech last week, China's President Xi Jinping announced that China was going to back off some of their tariffs on foreign automobile imports. So could it be that in the face of a potential trade war, did China blink? Had to dig into that a little bit later. But back to the phone lines. We go next to Indiana, where Bruce is on the line. Bruce, thank you for calling the Hamilton Corner. Welcome to the program.
I love your show. Listen to it every day. I think you're spot on, and I ask God to bless you.
Thank you for that, Bruce. Thank you very much.
And I just want to tell you, I think I'm a dog.
Bruce, thank you for your call. Bruce is making the point that if we're living in the era where biology doesn't matter and that all that matters is subjective feelings, where he, and I'm going to say it in my true Ninth Ward style, he feels to believe that he is a canine, un perro, hence his Bruce, that's hilarious. Back to the phone lines we go, next to Arkansas, where Jonathan is on the line. Jonathan, thank you for calling the Hamilton Corner.
Hey, man. Yeah, I appreciate your show. Listen to it every day on the way home. It's a nice, refreshing change from the normal politics we hear. But I had a observation with Cory Booker and the Mike Pompeo
yes.
situation. It's just curious, more of a maybe get your opinion on it, but perhaps he could have just come around and say, I believe what the Bible says about it, and then even stated it, because then if Cory Booker is going to contradict that, he's essentially upsetting anyone who says they believe the Bible. But it also, I mean, I understand in reality, he doesn't care about that. But in perception, now he places himself in the public eye of, well, I disagree with anyone who believes the Bible. And it puts him in a very negative public light.
Jonathan, I think that's a great point. especially in light of what we just witnessed, for example, with Joy Behar having to do a little bit of crawfishing. If you're from Louisiana, you know what I'm talking about. I'll just say backpedaling for the general nation. Joy Behar having to back off of her vicious comments about Mike Pence. Why is that? Because of the large percentage of Christians in the country. And I think you're spot on, Jonathan. Why do we always have to play defense? Why not flip it? Use your platform in that moment, if you're Mike Pompeo, to say, well, actually, my beliefs about human sexuality are based in scripture. Say what the scripture says about it and present that to the populace. And says, now, if your concern is about the biblical teachings on human sexuality, it seems that your issues are with a source that is higher than me. The floor is yours, Senator Booker. That's a good observation, Jonathan. A very, very good observation. We'll go back to the phone lines now to Tennessee, where Floyd is on the line. Floyd, thank you for calling the Hamilton Corner. Welcome to the program.
Thank you very much. I just wanted to make a comment that bit that you played back with the senator's question. The CIA director, what have you.
Yes.
I just wanted to say that it sounded like to me, you know, the senator's talking about a lot of hate speech and things like that. He sounded to me like he had a lot of hate in his heart himself.
Did he sound like he was worthy of a Facebook jail, Floyd?
Yeah, exactly. So I appreciate your show.
Thank you for your call, and thank you for taking the time to listen to the program. That is another wonderful observation. It sounded like he had quite a bit of hate in his heart. And, you know, and Jeff was saying that, man, it seems lately that Cory Booker is hostile and attempting to grill people in such an aggressive manner, similar to what he did to Christian Nielsen, the Homeland Security director. They all completely bypassed the fact that she's like one of the first female Homeland Security directors ever. And they just go right in because for them, their willingness to maintain their identity political framework is that you share their ideology, which is why they didn't talk much about Kellyanne Conway being the first female to head a successful presidential campaign. None of that matters because she doesn't share the proper ideology. Well, I'll tell you why he's doing that. Cory Booker wants on to the presidential ticket in 2020, in 2024 for sure, if not 2020. So he is taking the opportunity to try to buff his noggin so he can get some shine. That is what's happening. That's what you see happening, and that's why he is acting the way he is. He is feeding, providing fodder for the base of the Democrat Party because that is what they want to see. That is his calculation. Back to the phone lines. Next to the great state of Texas, where Dwight is on the line. Dwight, thank you for calling the Hamilton Corner. Welcome to the program.
Yes, sir. I'm going to make real quick statements, then I'm going to hang up and let's hear what you have to say about it.
Okay.
They're not going to put him in Facebook jail because he's talking the side they want to be heard. And if they're questioning him because of what their people want questioned, so it's okay for their people to be unconstitutional. And the difference between transgenders and the drag queens is like the difference between duck's feet. Thank you.
Dwight. Thank you for your call. Thank you for listening to the Hamilton Corner today. Well, folks, I want to remind you that there's no such thing as neutral. Because of the preeminence of Christ and because he owns everything we see by creation rights, there is not a sector, an area of our society that the sovereignty of the Lord doesn't scream out, mine. And so I would encourage you to do your part, to man your lane in the execution of the Great Commission. The Lord's call is not for you nor I to change the entire world. He just wants us to plant our feet solidly on the ground and represent Christ in our world.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.